Tennessee Titans plans for a new stadium drew ever closer this week as the Metro Nashville Council voted 25-11 in favor of the plan on second reading. There will be a third and final reading at a specially called session on April 25th, which, assuming nothing dramatic changes between now and then, that approval will be approved then, and the Titans will, I assume, break ground sometime thereafter. Certainly there will be a ceremonial groundbreaking at least a short time after, and how quickly construction begins in earnest we will see. It'll probably wait until after the fall, but that is moving forward continually. The NFL draft draws ever closer. We are now just over a week away, and as it does, the Titans continue to make moves. In recent days, they signed wide receiver Chris Moore, 29 years old, most recently with the Houston Texans, and linebacker Ben Neiman, 25 years old, most recently with the Arizona Cardinals. Both guys have been primarily role players throughout their careers. They are the newest members of the Titans, and the trade talk continues. There is, it seems like every week there's another little spin on what the Titans might do with one of their veteran players. We will talk about these things and more on this edition of Believe in Titans with the usual lineup. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, good day.
It's a great day, David. How are you and John doing this evening?
All right, we'll go with a great day. I like that. John Glennon, how are you?
Great. I'll follow that up.
There you go. Playing hurt again, as we mentioned last week, but John Glennon he's just digging through, and I am David Beauclair, and we thank you as always for tuning in, and I must remind you that the Believe in Titans podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting. Everything from the NBA and NHL playoffs to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online, with live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. Bet Online is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And gentlemen, we have talked a lot in recent weeks, obviously, about the Titans' first-round pick, as they still sit with number 11, whether they'll stay there, whether they'll move up, move back, who they might be looking at in the first round and whatnot. But let's take a little time here and focus on day two, which is, of course, rounds two and three, and can be really instrumental in building a roster. And I point you. You know, we can go to 2016, for example, and note that Derrick Henry was picked in the second round that year. Kevin Byard was picked in the third round that year. And, arguably the best player on offense, best player on defense still to this day, or certainly most important, at least, however you want to classify that. The Titans have number 41 overall in the second round this year, number 72 overall in the third round. Harold Landry, another good player, for example, was the 41st overall pick in 2018. You can go to 2011 and find Jarrell Casey in the third round at 77th. And let's go all the way back to 1997, and a cornerback named Denard Walker, taken 75th overall, had a pretty nice career.
Yeah, great player.
Deal. Exactly. Was a starter right from the get go.
His arm weren't very long. It kind of
you said they overcame it. You said they were longer than Rodgers.
They are. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, like I said, there's the talk of maybe a quarterback, or you know, certainly everybody would be happy with a tackle or a wide receiver at number 11. John, let's start with you. You look at the number 41 pick. As you look at draft boards and things, you look at the Titans' needs. What do you think they might be thinking for number 41?
Number 41, you know, I as we all know about the Titans last year, the big need was offense. All kinds of needs, all kinds of questions for this team on offense. So, you know, we've talked about the first round recently. I still lean towards offensive line, a tackle of my first round pick. So I'm continuing that trend even into the second and third rounds as well. I've looked at wide receiver and tight end. You know, one time I would think maybe wide receiver second, tight end third, and then kind of flipped them back and forth. And I finally wound up going with their second round pick at 41 there. I like going tight end because I think kind of the run of really good tight ends will end before they get to their third round pick. And I think this is a good year to get one of those really good tight ends. So I'm going to go with the big monster out of Georgia, the tight end Darnell Washington, just because you just don't get a chance to draft these kind of guys a lot. 6'7", you know, 264 pounds, you know, basically plays like another offensive lineman at tight end. But he's got, you know, he's a good athlete. He's got, he's obviously a tremendous, huge target in the passing game. He didn't put up huge numbers as a pass receiver, 28 catches last year, 450 yards or so. But he averaged, you know, 16 yards a catch as well. And I think he was, by all accounts, underutilized in the passing game because Georgia had Brock Bowers as a tight end, and they were throwing a ton of passes to him. But this guy is just a stud, you know, and in my way of thinking, you've already got your kind of pass catching gadgety tight end for the Titans in Chigo Conquo. You've got a guy in Trevon Wesco who was, you know, primarily about completely a blocker. Darnell Washington gives you kind of the best of both worlds. Huge offensive lineman. Titans are still a run heavy team until proven otherwise. So he gives you plenty of help there. And I think he's going to become an even better pass catching target as a pro, whether it's red zone or middle of the field, than he was. So I'm going with the big man out of Georgia, tight end Darnell Washington there.
Interesting, nice complimentary piece for Chigo Conquo for sure. Denard Walker, if you're drafting for the Titans, who do you have at the top of your second round wish list right now?
Well, last week I went with DeJuan Jones out of Ohio State, but John, I'm going to piggyback on you because there's a young man that I'm very high on. I've had a chance to watch him play in that Pac-12 game against USC, the championship. That's Dalton Kincaid. This young man is a stud. You think about Kansas City and who is Patrick Mahomes' safety blanket. There's one name that comes to mind, and that's Travis Kelce. You think about the game against Dallas. Who was really Dallas's offense that day? Dalton Schultz. Yeah, he is a stud. And you look at, Dallas Goedert at Philly. He had a great game against Tennessee. Now, there's a name. Dalton Kincaid is absolutely amazing, David. And let me just give you a little background on this young man. He was a great basketball player coming out of high school. And he was actually took up football late, played 1 year of high school football, ended up being an all-state tight end, goes to the University of San Diego, plays there a few seasons, didn't get a lot of reps, transfers to Utah, and he's a 2022 Pac-12 first team. David, let me tell you something. This young man is phenomenal. When you think of players like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, and Jimmy Graham, what's the first thing you think about when you think about these tight ends?
Big catches, touchdowns.
They catch touchdowns, but they're it's basketball players. You know, let's not forget Tony Gonzalez was a great forward at Cal. Antonio Gates played, what was that, Toledo? And then you look at Jimmy Graham at the U. These guys were excellent basketball players. Same thing as Dalton. And he's young and he's raw. David, I feel like this is going to be the steal of the draft. You already lost Austin Hooper. I mean, was a big, big part of your offense last season. So you need a playmaker, especially at the tight end position. And I feel like he would be a great asset next to Chig. And two young players, dynamic duo, and they have different – it's like they have a different skill level. Chig, we know that you can line up at the fullback. You can line him up at wing. You can line up on the outside. But this right here, this player, Dalton, he's a special player, Dave, and I love to see Tennessee get him at number 41 in the second round.
It's interesting. Your two picks there put me in mind of a little bit of Titans history, too, if you think back to – maybe 2000, I think it was. You might remember this, Denard. It was when Antonio Gates was sort of just starting to become Antonio Gates, and the Titans tried to copy this by signing a basketball player slash tight end out of Georgia by the name of Larry Brown. He was a big big athletic guy and whatnot. It was clearly the Titans thinking, well, geez, maybe we can get our own sort of Antonio Gates, but Larry was not the most motivated guy in the world. I remember one time during a practice, Neil O'Donnell running the scout team, and after a rep, Neil walks up to Larry and he just goes, "Larry, look, do me a favor. You tell me what routes you're going to run hard on, so that I don't have to waste my time looking at you on the routes you don't." And
they call the play in the huddle. Larry, by the time he got to the line, he forgot what play to run. I mean, Larry could remember a dog from a cat.
But I'm gonna go the other way on you guys here. I'm gonna go defense, and you know, it's become a thing for the Titans to look for cornerbacks early in the draft. When you talk about Christian Fulton in the second round, followed by Caleb Farley in the first round, Roger McCreary in the second round last year. Cornerback Cam Smith out of South Carolina. He's got good size, 6'1", 180. But here's the thing. I think, you know, as Mike Vrabel has spent more and more time as a head coach and started to really get a clear picture of what he thinks and what he likes at the cornerback position, we've had a lot of fun with Roger McCreary's arm length, right? But Roger McCreary plays football, and Roger McCreary makes plays, and that's what that's what Mike Vrabel's looking for at that position. And Cam Smith over the last 2 years had 15 PBUs plus 4 interceptions on 70 balls thrown his way. That means he is breaking up, you know, almost one out of every 4 that's coming his direction. And that's the kind of production that I think it just translates regardless of, you know, I mean, he's obviously guarding SEC wide receivers there, and you just, you know, if you can make those kinds of plays in college, you're gonna make those kinds of plays in the NFL. Yeah, you're gonna give up some bigger ones because the wide receivers are a little bit better. But whatever, you know, whatever the nitpicking the scouts want to do on a guy like that, you're just gonna, I think you're just gonna look at that production and say that's a guy we want in our defense, and it'll continue that trend, like I say, of young, productive cornerbacks. Caleb Farley is not part of the productive part of that yet, but we'll see what this year holds for him. But if he struggles again, then I think you feel good about Fulton, McCreary, and Cam Smith as your top three there. So that's where I'm thinking. And you know, you just, cornerbacks are just don't seem to be. That to me, that's not one of those positions that you can really hit on very often late in the third day. It's you know, you kind of got to get them on Thursday or Friday if you're going to get them. It just seems to be that way there for me more than anybody else. Let's go through it again. 72 third round pick if the Titans stay there. John Glennon, who do you think, who do you like there, the Titans as a Titans pick?
Sticking with theme offense here.
Offense, you're going all offense.
Oh, yeah, 3 for 3 here. We want offensive line in the first. We're going tight end the second. And I'm going on the outside because we all know that the Titans are desperate for wide receivers. Very thin wide receiver room at present. You know, they need some playmakers. So, I was kind of went between about 3 different guys here. I really like, you know, Cedric Tillman, the UT wide receiver. I kind of think he fits a lot of the Titans' needs, but I suspect I'd like to cheat and kind of say him, but I think he's probably going to be gone off the board by then. Not for sure, but probably. So that narrowed it down to two. One is Jaden Reed from Michigan State. Not a giant guy, 5'11", 187, not tiny either, but speed. Runs a 4.45. It really shined in not last year, but the previous year for Michigan State. 55 catches, 11 touchdowns, and he was averaging about 17 yards a catch. This is a guy who can clearly get open downfield. Over the last 2 years, 46 plays of 20 or more yards over the past 2 years, which is a lot, obviously. And as an added measure, he averaged almost 15 yards per punt return. We know that Kyle Phillips' career as a punt returner may or may not be on permanent hold after last year. So I think the Titans could stand to have somebody else in that department. So he's my speed guy. I'm kind of leaning towards that. The other guy I really like, too, is the Ole Miss wide receiver, Jonathan Mingo. Not as fast, but more in the form of that Titans mold of guys we've seen them pick in recent years. 6'2", 220. Still runs about a 4.5 or so, and he's capable. Not a speed merchant, I'd say, not a huge downfield threat, but still last year 10 catches of 30 plus yards, nothing to sneeze at either. Good. Both of these guys are good run blockers, which we all know is important. Mingo is the bigger of the two, so he's probably a little bit better there. Mingo is a good yards after catch guy too. As I said, bigger, physical, whereas Reed is faster. So in the end, as desperate as we know this Titans team is for speed, I lean towards Jaden Reed from Michigan State. Because of that, he's a little of the two. He's a guy that you always have to account for going deep. He's a good tracker of deep throws, good catching the ball, the long pass. So I will go with him with my third round pick.
Interesting. Denard Walker, if you're a scout, who are you banging on Rand Carthen's desk for? Who are you advocating here?
Well, last year the Titans at the third round, number six, was pick 69. They went with this young man, Nicholas Petit-Frere, who was solid last year at that right tackle position. And Derrick Henry is getting up in age and he needs some help. And he didn't get it from the perimeter game. So you need some really solid offensive linemen. There's a young man who I love out of Syracuse, of all places, the Orangeman, baby, and the big man, Matthew Bergeron. I love the last name Bergeron. He's Canadian, 6'5", 318 pounds. He's played over 2,500 snaps at tackle. What I love about Matthew, David, is he's very versatile. He can play both left and right, and that's what you want to see, versatility from your offensive lineman. He is a solid blocker. He's a stud. He's physically great in zone blocking. You know, Tennessee, they love to run those zone runs. He's strong at the point of attack. When you watch him, there's a game against Notre Dame and they had a good defensive end. And I mean, once he latches on, you're not going anywhere. And what I love about him is his footwork. What Syracuse loves to do is they pull their tackles. Very rarely do you see tackles pull, especially in the NFL. You see a lot of guards pulling. But when you can see a tackle that can go from one side to the other, I mean, the big man can move. And he's, like I said, he's physically gifted. He's young. He's just raw. And what I love about him is he typically wins those one-on-one battles. He's a very physical player. I feel like if Tennessee can just get some more young offensive linemen, continue to build, I think the sky's the limit for Tennessee and this young player, Matthew Bergeron out of Syracuse.
I like the way you're thinking. I was thinking offensive line here as well, but I'm going inside. You know, Ben Jones is gone. I know the thinking is Aaron Brewer is a more natural fit at center. His size won't be as much of an issue there. But there's a guy out of Minnesota, John Michael Schmitz, who is a big body for a center at 6'4", 320. One of these guys was an accomplished high school wrestler, so he understands leverage, plays with good leverage. You know, to your way of thinking too, Denard, they used an outside zone scheme there, which he is well versed at. And Pro Football Focus had him graded at 92.4 last season, which was the highest of all Division One centers. I've seen some draft rankings that have a second round grade on this guy, and I think as a center, they're that's a position that's just not sexy enough. It's really a leap to kind of go in the first or second round. So I think he will be there in the third round. And you just look at the history of this team. You know, you go back to Kevin Mawai's 4 years here at center, and all 4 years that he was the center, this team had, it was top 10 in the league in rushing offense. You look at what they've done with Ben Jones and Derrick Henry as a combination. Now that, you know, both Mawai and Jones came in as free agents, they were veteran players. You know, this is a guy who will obviously have to learn on the job, but there seems to be no doubt that he will be a very good NFL center. And, I think as part of the offensive line rebuild this year, that would not be a bad way to go. Just get a guy like that and let the, you know, sort of let the whole line grow up around him and go from there. So that's just a little fun and games for us there. As we know, you can get, and you will get, really good players in the second and third round. Sometimes, you know, those are the guys who will make or break your draft in a lot of ways. So that'll be worth watching as next week transpires. Also worth watching, if we continue to hear this, is the trade talk. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler said over the weekend that he thinks Kevin Byard would be open to a trade if the Titans wanted to do that. Now, Byard, of course, there was the reports that they want him to take a pay cut, and he doesn't want to take a pay cut. To this point, none of that has happened. But Byard now joins Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill as three really big names on this team that have been mentioned as possibly being traded this offseason. So, Denard, we'll start with you. Is there one of those guys you think is more likely than the others to be traded, and why?
Yeah, and I hate to talk about this, because the one guy that I think might be traded is, I'm one of his biggest fan, and that's Kevin Byard. I don't think right now Hassan Haskins, is the answer at the running back position. I still think Derrick Henry is elite, and he's in a league of his own. I don't think that this is a team right now that can give the keys to Malik and say, hey, we want you to lead this team and go forward. I don't think he's ready yet. Even if you go up, let's say to that, you draft up to that number three, and let's say you get a Will Levis, I don't think he's going to come in right away and absolutely light it up. So that leaves one name. And I hate to say this, but when you look at Kevin Byard, he's 29 years old. Unfortunately, in this league, when you start getting up in age, your value decreases. I don't care how productive you are at times. And the reason I say this is, if you look at last year, Tennessee traded away a young man by the name of A.J. Brown, probably his best player. And unfortunately, that ended up with the general manager out of the door midseason by the name of John Robinson. So if you're Rand Carthon, you make this move, you better make sure that you get someone that you can replace, because this would be beneficial for Kevin. And I'm going to tell you why. This right now, when you look at the safety position at the free safeties, if you look at it, it's actually not a deep pool. So this can actually benefit payment wise. I mean, getting compensated. If you look at Kevin, there's only one other name out there, a high volume player, and that's Buda Baker. So these are two guys right now that could end up, if they end up in free agency or trade, they can end up getting paid. I'm talking, David, I'm talking about compensated. And you also got to look at Kevin's cap number. What is this? 19.623 cap hit. So you have to look at that. That's high. And he only has 2 years left on his contract. So this might be a move that Tennessee said, listen, we might have no other choice.
Yeah, Kevin Byard has said repeatedly he wants to play his whole career in Tennessee. But, you know, Kevin's also a very smart guy, and he might look at this team right now and say, well, 7-10 last year, we're kind of in a strange place. You know, if they were to trade me to a Kansas City or a Buffalo or somebody that, you know, he feels like would give him better chance of winning before the end of his career, certainly while he's still a very productive player, you could understand how a guy like that might be open to that. But you know, we'll go John Glennon, same question to you. Of the big three there, who do you see as most likely to be traded?
Might be a little surprising, but I think Derrick Henry in some ways makes the most sense as a guy who might get traded. And the reasoning for me is, you know, I'm not sure whether this is just the Titans or for any team, but to me, I think it's easier to replace somebody at running back quicker also to replace somebody at running back than it is at quarterback. And safety as well, especially with your Titans. As Denard referenced to the quarterback spot, I think, you know, you trade Ryan Tannehill this year, you know, I don't think Malik Willis is ready to be a starter right now. And unless they get like a Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, I don't think any of those other guys are ready to be a step in and be a starter right away either. So, you know, I'm not sure what you're looking at as your starting quarterback. You know, for the coming year, I think you're certainly in for some struggles there. And a little bit of a similar argument with Kevin Byard, too, in that I just don't see, you know, there's not a guy in waiting on that roster. There's not a guy you point to on the depth chart and say, yeah, I see this guy as, you know, maybe a year or two down the road as replacing Kevin Byard. And obviously you can draft somebody this year, but still he's a rookie stepping into some pretty big shoes if you do that. And to me, in general, you know, with a running back, and I'm not saying Hassan Haskins is necessarily the future, but one way or another, you know, you can get Hassan Haskins and maybe somebody else that you draft this year, maybe, you know, get some sort of a committee going and find it easier to replace a guy like Derrick Henry, who, as good as he is, still, you know, he's 29-year-old running back. The numbers have gone down a bit in recent years, some of the key numbers, not all of the numbers. You know, you, I think you can find it easier to replace someone, and it's an easier, transition from college to the pros also, I think, for a running back, as well than it is the other two spots. So I would say, Henry to me. Now, I think you could save obviously more money cap space wise with either Byard or Tannehill, than you could with Derrick Henry. But, you know, if it's a post June 1st trade for Derrick Henry, you save $11 million in cap at that spot. And you're only looking at $5.4 million dead cap money as well. So that's maybe my surprising choice there.
Yeah, and I will say this, people, we did not like draw names from a hat here, or we didn't plan this out. But to me, it's Ryan Tannehill. I can't get Rand Carthen's "he's our quarterback for now" comment out of my head. And I think Mike Vrabel in the quiet moments in his office, I think Mike Vrabel probably thinks back to that playoff game against Cincinnati and sees three interceptions. And, you know, that's hard to get over. Keep in mind, the only two playoff games Ryan Tannehill has won as a quarterback were Baltimore and New England back in 2019, and he threw a combined like 28 passes, I think, in those two games. And anytime he's actually had to throw to help the Titans win a playoff game, he hasn't been able to do it. So while Tannehill is clearly the best option on the roster right now, I do believe they are open to offers for him. I don't think it's a coincidence that Malik Willis was drafted last year, and you know, coming off that playoff loss to Cincinnati, that was the first time the Titans were clearly thinking beyond Ryan Tannehill. And I think he's a guy that they know his limitations, and yes, they've won more games with him than not, and he you know, he's played hurt, he's done everything he could to help this team, but it just I think with a new GM, with some of the changes, you know, with Taylor Lewan moving on, with Derrick Henry getting older, I just sort of feel a sense of this team is ready to get on to its next quarterback, whoever that is, whether it's somebody in the draft, whether it's a, you know, it's a Trey Lance, whatever. It just feels like to me that, in about 2 weeks' time, there's going to be a completely different quarterback picture, and the Titans are going to get aggressive about trying to move Tannehill. But
so who did? Let me ask you this: who in your scenario? And I agree with you. The quarterback picture could certainly change. You could either draft someone or add someone by trade. But I'm not sure I see a starter right away in those guys. And to me, I would rather have that person, whoever it is, sit one more year behind Tannehill. And in your scenario, who would you start, you know, as quarterback in 2023?
You know, I'm thinking Trey Lance is coming here. Like I'm thinking it's a couple trades. It's a trade with San Francisco to get Trey Lance here, and you know, maybe it's the scenario where Malik Willis goes to the 49ers. Then you trade Tannehill to wherever you're going to trade him, and you go from there. You sign another free agent. You draft you draft maybe in the third or fourth round. I just feel like change is coming to that position, and like I say, in 2 weeks' time here, we might see a completely different quarterback room for this team. So
David, I got a question. Yeah. If you're Kyle Shanahan right now and John Lynch, and I know the quarterback coach quite well, I played with him, Brian Greasy, out there in San Francisco. Let's say you trade Trey Lance right now to Tennessee. That means you got one, and Jimmy Garoppolo now is in Las Vegas. So right now, and then we talked about Brock Purdy. There's no guarantee that Brock Purdy is going to be ready for training camp. If you're, I don't think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch is saying we're not letting him go, because who else do we have? There's no one else.
Yeah, I don't think they're in a hurry.
Sam Darnold, like I just said, who else do they have?
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point about Jimmy Garoppolo, because they learned last year that you don't have to move a guy just because he's good enough to play but isn't playing, right? I mean, they know that lesson as well as anybody, because they eventually needed Garoppolo for a while last year, and they were talking about getting him back in there potentially late in the playoffs if that's the way things were going to go. So I agree, but I also think Rand Carthen, you know, as a first year GM, he's got a relationship with Trey Lance. I think he can see what the offense specifically would be with Trey Lance in charge. And I think in a perfect world, in his mind, that's what he's thinking. That's why I think that. And, you know, there's a lot, again, there's a lot to like about Ryan Tannehill. If you end up in week one with Ryan Tannehill as the Titans starter, I think you feel good about that. But I also feel like from the moment Malik Willis was drafted last year, everybody's wheels, you're just automatically going, what's after Tannehill? And the way things went last year, I think there's more of a hurry to get there. Like, okay, you know, this isn't going to happen probably with Ryan Tannehill. So let's move on. That's just, you know, and again, that's no one has told me that. That's just me sort of trying to read the tea leaves, what I know of people in that building, how they, you know, trying to read between the lines, that sort of thing. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting. I know one thing for certain: if any of those three are traded, Titans fans will be sad, because they have all been good players, productive players, exciting players. You know, Henry and Byard really specifically have done spectacular things, and Tannehill has been a very important piece to this team. You know, after going through the Jake Locker, Marcus Mariota, never quite as good as you wanted, you know, the expectations for Tannehill when he came in here were so low, and he blew them out of the water. So But I do think it's going to be a very interesting time here over the next couple of weeks. So that's about all we've got time wise for this thing. This conversation went quickly today. So we got about 2 minutes left here. Denard, as you look ahead to next week with the draft, what's your sense? Titans State, say, put it number 11, or are they moving one way or another?
Depends on Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. What are they looking for? Are you looking for your starting quarterback? Your starting quarterback going to be Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to go with Tannehill for next 2023. But
okay,
who's the future? So if you're looking for the future, yeah, go ahead and make that move and draft up to number 3.
John, you think they're staying put, or you think a trade for that first-round pick is coming?
I think more likely to move back, in my opinion. I think they can still get a quality guy if they move back a bit, and they can add draft capital. They've only got 6 draft picks right now. So, at this point in time, on this day, I think they'll move back. That's what I'll put my dollar on.
All right. Well, we shall see. Like we said, it's just over a week away at this point, and we will look forward to that along with the rest of you, and we will talk about it all beforehand and what happens. We will be back to break it on down here at Believe in Titans. So until then, Denard Walker, good day.
Have a good evening, fellas. Thank you.
And John Glennon, you take care.
All right. Enjoy it, guys.
And I am David Beauclair. This has been the latest episode of Believe in Titans, brought to you by Bet Online.